Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm your host, Louis Shackshaft, football writer, blogger and podcast host on this occasion again also.
Yeah, and I will be joining Louis today. You can get me on Twitter at Jake Jackman with two N's. I normally appear on the Premier League show, but I've been called in on an emergency loan to the Championship, so we're going to discuss the weekend's result. You can get me, and you can find my writings on EPL Index and thebootroom.com.
It's great to have you with us, Jake. Actually, you've not mentioned there that you are actually the producer of the Championship show. So a round of applause for that, everybody. But yeah, we've got Jake on the show, and it's good of you to come on, and it's great to have you with us because I know you don't appear on the Championship show too often, but it'll make a change from the Premier League show, I'm sure. But firstly, Jake, let's go back a few days and let's discuss the results from the weekend. If you'd like to do so. So going back to Friday night, obviously Middlesbrough went away to Sheffield Wednesday, got a 2-1 victory there. Blackburn Rovers then on the Saturday, huge win for them, 2-1 against Leeds. Bristol City sneaking a victory very last minute against Brentford away, 1-0. Score draw between Hull and Preston, 1-1. Big win for Birmingham away at Stoke, 1-0. Wigan gaining a 1-0 win against West Brom, huge result for them, quite a few shocks this week. Villa winning 1-0 against Swansea, Ipswich losing at home 2-0 against QPR, Norwich big win also away at Forest 2-1, Reading 3-1 victory at home to Millwall, 1-1 draw between Rotherham and Bolton, and then finally on the evening of the 5:30 kickoff last Saturday was Derby's victory 2-1 against Sheffield United. Are there any games in particular, I'm sure there's quite a few there, Jake, that are huge wins for any teams in particular?
Yeah, I'd like to start off with that game at lunchtime on the Saturday, which was Blackburn Leeds. Leeds have had a lot of praise for how they've taken to Bielsa's system. There was always a few concerns about maybe their ability to stick to that over the course of the season with the amount of games, and there's been a few performances recently that have shown that. I think on Saturday, though, it's just a really good performance from Blackburn. They've been flying under the radar somewhat, but they've moved into seventh now. Only lost two games. So, you know, that's only... I think it's Birmingham and Middlesbrough and Leeds as well have lost as few as that. So they're one of the... They're very good at, you know, keeping in games and not losing games, but it seemed like an important victory for them just to beat one of the bigger teams at home, where they're a newly promoted club. I think there was a few good performances in there. I think Lenihan was very good at the back. I think Adam Armstrong, who my club sold this summer to Blackburn, he's doing very well in the Championship, and he played very, very well, I thought. And I just think they've got a good team, and I think Tony Mowbray... It's maybe a little bit underrated. I think he's been at Middlesbrough, he's been at West Brom, he went to Coventry for a little bit. And when he came into Blackburn last time in the Championship, I think he sort of recovered it quite well after Owen Coyle. Maybe a little bit unlucky to go down, and then now they've come back up, and they seem to be a really good Championship outfit. And I think they're going to be, you know, if they're not up and about the playoffs, they've certainly, you know, got a chance to compete up there. They might not finish in the top six, but I think they're definitely one of the teams to watch. And it was a really, really good performance from them. I don't know what you thought of the game at all, Louis.
Yeah, they did play really well. And like you say, I think Tony Mowbray's been underestimated, and Blackburn have been a surprise this season and do only find themselves, well, actually, they're on joint points regarding the playoffs. So they are actually currently joint fifth as we record. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't see that coming. Obviously, a lot of it's down to Bradley Dack, but against Leeds, they did prove themselves. And yes, they deserve to be where they are in the table. Like I say, joint fifth as we record. Is there any other particular games that stand out for you then, Jake?
Well, I think that the Friday night game as well, the Middlesbrough game, obviously with your club involved there. I think Middlesbrough, they're top of the table now. They've only conceded 7 goals this season. Their goals for is not great. I've only scored 16, so that's a little bit concerning. But the defence seems to be shaping up really well, and I thought that was evident on Friday night. I thought they did very well, and obviously Wednesday came back into it near the end. But that's always likely to happen in this league. It's difficult to hold games out, even when you do get into an established lead like Middlesbrough did. But I thought they played very well, and it's a tough place to go, Hillsborough. I think you'd admit that you're a lot better at home than you are away. So that's a massive victory.
Definitely, yeah.
And I think that's something they can really, that's a marker that they've put down and they can really push on from there. It'd be interesting to see if they can, because I know under Pulis they have had a few good results and then dropped off and had a couple of poor ones. So they're the one team that I think could really push on at the top of the league, and it'll be interesting to see if they can do that now. But I thought they played really well, and that's a big result at a difficult ground in the Championship. So
yeah, definitely. They were the better team, and I was surprised that even Wednesday did find themselves on the score sheet, actually, because, like you said, the defensive record is sublime at the minute. 13 games and only conceded 7 is just, is actually phenomenal in this league. But, yeah, I'm still tipping those for promotion. Just a couple of other games what stand out for me. Even though Stoke do find themselves, in the bottom half of the table, Birmingham's victory there 1-0 against them is absolutely huge. And Birmingham, I believe, now are on a run of games where they've not lost in 8, I believe. So, yes, that was a bit of a surprise for me, because I really, every week, I keep thinking that Stoke are eventually going to get that win and then start to slowly creep up the table. And again, another home defeat. And, they've conceded 19 goals this season already. The other one for me, that there were, in fact, there's quite a lot. There was a lot of big wins, actually, over the course of that weekend. And obviously the evening kickoff as well, Derby County beating Sheffield United, who I believe were sat possibly around second at the time at kickoff. Sheffield United could have gone 3 points clear, but again, Derby putting in a decent performance there, and Marriott with an absolutely cracking goal to seal the victory for Derby was another big win. Any more at all? I have got a couple more listed down, Jake, if you want to name any more.
I'm not. We could talk about every result here. I think Wigan's win at home at West Brom is a big one. I think Wigan, like Blackburn, they've come up, and I think, they sit 7th and 8th respectively, and they've both got a really good chance of challenging for those promotion spots. And Wigan came up to the Championship a couple of years ago, and they're in a relegation zone for nearly the whole year. Yeah. So it's interesting to see them come up and do a lot better this time, and I think they create a lot of chances, so I think that they're definitely going to be ones that could stay up there. And just one for me is the Reading-Millwall game. I think watching the highlights of this was quite remarkable. I don't know how Reading... The scoreline 3-1 for Reading would never be repeated. I think Millwall had something like 20 shots inside the Reading area. It was so ridiculous.
Right, okay.
So over 20 shots Millwall attempted from inside Reading's area. So, if you're conceding that many shots from inside your own penalty box and to win 3-1... It's quite remarkable. I don't think that Reading are a very good team, and this result is good for them, but I don't think the performance is an indicator that it's going to be something that's going to be maintained. I think it's more, it was quite fluky. But I think Reading won't care. So, they got that win. I think Millwall, it's just surprising how they've... Normally, last year, they were so good at keeping teams to a... keeping the scores down, keeping clean sheets, winning games quite routinely in sort of 1-2-0 in the second half of the season. Now they're in a relegation zone. They were much of the dominant team and they didn't get the result and conceded 3 goals, which is just very unlike Millwall. And I think it's a massive concern for them that they were so dominant and didn't get that win against a team that is likely to be, playing, struggling at the bottom of the table this year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's a lot of clubs down there between 16th and 24th, and it's so tight at the minute that, the Reading and Millwall game was effectively a 6-pointer, and, maybe they didn't deserve it on the day, but Millwall are just conceding goals for fun at the minute. In fact, they've conceded 22 in total, which is the second worst victory for me of the weekend, and I'm not going to touch on it too much, but yeah, the Wigan one was huge. Obviously beating West Brom, I didn't see that coming. I thought that was a West Brom victory all day long, especially West Brom not scoring a goal. They can score goals for fun, 31 in total so far. But the other one for me, The surprise and huge win was Norwich's win at Forest. Obviously closer, scoring two second half goals there. They're on a really good run of form, our Norwich, finding themselves in the playoffs at the minute as well. So, yeah. Okay, Jake, I just wanted to touch on with you the thoughts on a Premier League 2 proposal. This was brought up by Andrea Radrizzini at Leeds, the chairman there. What are your thoughts on that? Because obviously it's a big statement, this proposal, and obviously a lot of it's to do with TV rights. But I just wanted to get your view on it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure, to be honest. I think I could see the advantages. I think, you know, piggybacking off the Premier League and hoping that that will lead to more money, which it probably would do. And Leeds have obviously got quite a big stake in this, as they're often selected to go on TV. So, yeah, you know, they would get a lot of money if there was more television rights available. But I'm not sure. I think the Championship is such a good league in its own right. And maybe it would, I don't know, it'd maybe lose a little bit of something if it was branded as the Premier League too, because I think there's a different style in the Championship. I'm not totally sure it would be the best thing for the league, but I think there's probably a way they could get more television money without rebrand the league at all. I think it's a league that's progressing as it is anyway, in a very natural way. I don't think it needs to be changed in such a dramatic fashion.
Yeah, you're right, and I agree, and you know, I can see both sides of the story, and it was interesting that it was the Leeds chairman who came out with this, and I've done my research, and Leeds found themselves, out of 46 games last season that they played, obviously, in the league, they was on Sky, or on TV, let's say, 19 of those times, which is a crazy amount. Like, obviously, you don't even get Premier League teams on TV that much. And obviously, yes, it is to create more revenue. And Radrizzini's argument is that, you know, a Premier League team who gets relegated get over £75 million in revenue, whereas a Championship team, and let's take Leeds United, only gained £7.5 million from 19 fixtures last season that were shown on TV. So I understand his argument, because obviously it's technically Leeds are the team who are getting screwed over by this, because they are simply on TV so much, if that makes sense. But what I didn't realise, as I've done my research, is that only £2.5 million of the £7.5 million that went to Leeds is actually from, let's say, BT Sport or Sky, whereas the other £5 million is actually made up by the EFL. So in terms of the argument that he's making, I completely understand why he is proposing a Premier League 2. But my concern, Jake, and I'm sure every fan in the country would agree with this, is that by proposing a Premier League 2, and if, let's say in hindsight, this was to happen, it will be the fans will actually pay the price for it. Because if there's a Premier League 2 and there's more TV rights and obviously more money involved, then in my eyes, ticket prices is going to go up. The cost for, obviously, subscriptions to TV, again, is going to go up. And I can only see it benefiting, obviously, the TV companies and, obviously, the football clubs. But for us fans, everything's expenses are, you know, expensive as it is. To be paying more money out, that's the only way I can see it, where the fans are going to be have a detrimental effect against a Premier League 2, basically. Did you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. It does seem that all ideas like this often lead to the cost being put onto the fans. And you've seen it this year with European football. You know, that's going off in all different channels, and you need three or four different subscriptions to watch all the football, where in other countries you can get it all on one network. So it is a bit like that. And, you know, the iFollow is a bit like that as well, the way that's come in. And I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit, and the way that midweek matches can now be watched at any time. So, you know, we'll come on to that in a bit. But it does seem to be changing as it is. So, yeah, I agree. If there was a Premier League 2, I think the Championship would lose a lot of its magic that it already has. And, of course, yeah, the fans would suffer it in the wallet. So I'm not sure that's a great idea. I can see why the Leeds owner wants it. I totally can see from his point of view and from their club's point of view. But I think you have to look sometimes a little bit past the money you're gonna, you know, gonna own, you're gonna get, and maybe think about your supporters, because clubs, although you know, supporters are becoming less and less important, you're still nothing without your supporters. So I think that's massive. So yeah, I totally agree on that point, Louis.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, the championship's probably the best it's been in hell of a long time. It is so competitive. And I know we talk about it often that, you know, the teams in the league, anybody can beat anybody on the day. And, you know, it is worth its weight in gold when a team does get promoted. And it's it's a nightmare for those who get relegated. But yeah, in terms of Premier League 2, I think it's solely around Leeds United who it's affecting the most. And I understand that. I understand why he's come out and proposed it and said what he has said. But for other teams who find themselves maybe at the foot of the table, like, let's, you know, no disrespect to them, but like your Rotherhams and your Ipswiches, etc., who aren't on TV too often, then it's obviously not affecting them as much. But yeah, from a Leeds point of view, like I said earlier, they find themselves on the TV more often than not. So let's, like you said, let's talk about the Sky Red button and iFollow, Jake. Will this option eventually kill midweek gate receipts, do you think? I know we've touched on this, but is it a time now where, you know, teams in the Championship are on TV more than ever? Does it need to just be put to a stop? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can see the argument for and against this. I think I think there's already been an impact on people going to the games already, so I think that's only going to continue. So yeah, it's a difficult one. I can see why Sky have done it, and I think there's not really a reason why they shouldn't do it. Really, because at the end of the day, Sky have to, you know, give their subscribers the best possible service they can.
Yeah.
So if you've got a Rotherham fan, they're not going to be on Sky as often as Leeds. So why would they sign up for Sky if they're not going to see their team very often? So this does cater for that. So I can see it from that point of view. And obviously iFollow, it's a lot bigger in League 1 and 2 in sort of how they can, you know, subscribe to their teams during the international break, for example, which I think is quite a good idea. So I can see the advantages from the television companies and from iFollow, but for supporters, like I'd always rather go to a game than watch it on TV. But I think there's some people that, you know, paying £10 to watch the game on iFollow is cheaper than paying, you know, £20-30 for a ticket. So I can see it. I can see both point of views. I think personally I quite like it, but I think, yeah, it's only going to be evident once we get 2, 3, 4 years into it how big of an impact it's going to have, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's very interesting. Again, I can see both sides of the story too. I mean, I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan, obviously, and we've been on 5 times in a row once we've played the QPR fixture. And to me, that I can't remember ever that happening before. And we've had 2 live on Sky Sports main event and 3 via the red button. And if I'm honest, a couple of those games I have watched on TV, and it has stopped me from going to the game because I don't generally follow Sheffield Wednesday away from home. I generally go to the fixtures at home. But when you've got that access there and you are paying for a subscription, I am finding myself knowing it's on Sky, watching it in my own home. And that's because, obviously, I'm already paying a subscription and it saves myself. And, you know, Wednesday's gate receipts is one of the highest in the league, let's say £35 for a ticket. So I'm saving £35 there, but I've still got the access in front of me, even though, like you say, Jake, it is better to go to the game for the atmosphere, et cetera, et cetera. It always is. But then, obviously, people around the country who don't have the access to just go to a stadium willy-nilly after they've finished work, or you may live between 30 and 100 mile away from the ground, then obviously this caters for that. But it's like you say, in the long run, will this eventually work? I mean, it might be a case that in so many years that you can actually buy a season ticket to watch on TV, to watch every single game for your club, if that makes sense. I'm guessing that's the way iFollow is eventually going to go, is that at the minute you have got an option, but eventually you could purchase a season ticket for maybe £150, £200. So there, people who don't live near the ground or don't have access to go to the games use this as an alternative option. But again, I don't know if in the long run that will work. I know, you know, you only have to take Serie A, for example. The amount of time that those teams are on TV there is, you'll often find that the gate receipts, you know, you're only getting 15 to 25,000 people turning up to huge fixtures in Serie A. So it's, yeah, it's crazy. But, I mean, to be honest, again, I've done my research on this. So 63 games across the EFL this season so far, and 47 of those games have seen a decrease in attendance, with only 16 with an increase in attendance when they have been shown live on TV. And on average, that means that there's only 430 people less on average across the Football League. However, that depends on, obviously, the supporters of the club and how big the club is. So top of that list is Aston Villa, actually. So Aston Villa lose 5,992 fans paying at the gate when they find themselves on TV. And that's a huge amount. I mean, if you think a fan's typically paying £30 for a ticket at home, times obviously 6,000, they're losing hell of a lot of money. And if you do that over the course of the season, then it's getting close to the £1 million mark. So, yeah, it does have a detrimental effect. But I suppose, like you say, Jake, it is early days and only time will tell on this one.
Definitely. And they are some interesting stats. It's already having an impact. But I think it's just the way football's going to go. And I can see it going a similar way to, you know, what Netflix is now, that sort of model. You just go on and you like, I think the season ticket is a very good suggestion. I think that's probably what's eventually going to happen. If they put up enough money, they'll be allowed to do that, and it will be interesting. It would be sad if English football lost the supporters, because I think that's one of the things that makes English football so special. But at the same time, I can understand why an Aston Villa fan living in London wants to watch every single one of his every one of Villa's games, and maybe cannot afford to go, you know, back to Birmingham every couple of weeks. The only thing to really what you could do to supplement this is, you know, bring season tickets down and bring match tickets down, then will the attendances be hit so much? I'm not sure they would be. So if maybe what needs to happen is that if Sky or Amazon or Netflix or any of these channels want to buy the Championship rights or the League One rights and offer this season ticket option, that it has to be done at such a premium rate that the money made from that knocks onto the match day tickets. Like, there has to be something done like that. But
Something's got to give in that regard, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, obviously, those stats. I mentioned nearly 6,000 for Aston Villa, but there are other Championship teams as well. So second on that list, actually, might be a surprise, is Wigan. They lose, when they are on average on TV, 2,443 supporters. Millwall, 2,249. Stoke, 2,146. West Brom, 2,000, pretty much bang on. And then Leeds United, 1,962. So, yeah, it is a considerable amount. And that is obviously over the course of a season, and it's averaged out. But it could be the beginning of the end in terms of like gateway seats, unless, like you say, they reduce the cost and they find a way where they can subsidise the money from TV back into the clubs. And like we said, £7.5 million that went to Leeds United, for example, is simply not enough when a Premier League team is getting close to £100 million. It does seem crazy now that Championship clubs are on probably as much as Premier League teams now, you know. But there we go. That's just the modern era that we find ourselves in, I guess, Jake, isn't it? So it's crazy. But moving on to the next topic, we're going to talk about this, and it's a bit of a debate, and it's been a debate that's been around for quite a few years now, and we all know how competitive the Championship is. But you being a Newcastle supporter, Jake, obviously find yourself in the Premier League at the minute and the Championship only a couple of years ago. But do you think the Championship is the most competitive league in the world, in regards to it being the toughest or the best, or, you know, in terms of quality? I know we're always going to say it's the Premier League, or you could even look towards La Liga, but in terms of competitiveness, is it the best?
I think it's a difficult question, and some of the words being used, it's difficult to say, because obviously we don't know every single league, so that of our very basic knowledge, I would say the Championship is a very good and competitive league, but I don't know where it stands to the rest. But I think this year it's especially competitive when you look at it. Mm-hmm. Ipswich, bottom of the table, have only lost 6 matches out of 13. No team has lost more than 7 matches. So that's roughly just over half of those 30 matches. No team has lost more than that. And the team with the most victories, which is Sheffield United, has 8 out of 13. So there's nobody running away with it, and there's nobody being cut adrift at the bottom. It is very bunched up. And you see from Bolton in 18th to Middlesbrough in first, there's only 9 points separating those teams. So, you know, it's crazy competitive this year. So I'd say this year, more than any, it's more competitive than it's ever been. Last year, you had Wolves running away with it. The year before, to a lesser extent, you had Newcastle and Brighton. So there's always been sort of one or two teams that you know better than the rest, and you can sort of make a bold prediction of them going up as early as September and October normally, and it does ring true. There's nobody like that this season. I would say the only one to me, I think Middlesbrough have got the potential for it, but for me, I think it's West Brom. I think they're the only team that I could see really running away with it, and that's purely because of the attacking options they've got. They've already scored 31 goals out of 13 matches, so that's an incredible scoring rate to have already hit. So I think they're the one team that you could really see running away with it. But apart from that, I think anybody has got a good chance of going up, and as many as sort of 3 of 7 or 8 teams could go down, and like that normally, like I said about the top, there's normally one team that runs away, or you think you've got a good prediction of them going up. That normally happens. You normally got one or two at the bottom that you can sort of make that prediction with. And even Hull, who have been struggling a lot, they're still, you know, they've got 9 points out of 13 games, which they're not being cut adrift at all. Rotherham, they're doing a lot better than they did last time they're in this league. Bolton, a lot of people thought they were going to struggle, and they had a really, really good start to the season. So it is massively competitive. And the fact that, and I think what is most interesting about the Championship this year is you have Swansea and Stoke down in the bottom half of the table, struggling when they've been relegated. I know Swansea have had a lot of upheaval, whereas Stoke had spent a lot of money and people expected better from Stoke. I think it's unfair to put those two in the same bracket, but as purely as relegated teams, they're both in the bottom half of the table. And then you move up to the top half of the table and you've got Blackburn and Wigan, who came up from League One. So these four teams were separated by 2 divisions last year, and now they're in the same division, and the two that have come up are doing better than the two that have come down. So I think it speaks volumes about how much momentum means in the Championship, even across seasons. I think that matters a lot. It is massively competitive, and I know Louis, you're going to come in and say exactly the same, that you think it is a massively competitive and exciting league, and that maybe you'd miss it if you did get promoted. I don't know.
I'd rather get promoted, but the problem is, I think that you know, you could take 16 teams, let's say, out of the Championship, and they're all worthy to be bottom three of the Premier League, if that makes sense. It is literally that tie, and there is obviously some quality players in the Championship. And, you know, we talk about, and I've already mentioned that any team can beat anyone on the day. And that's shown, obviously, last weekend. We named about four or five fixtures that, you know, were total surprises because, like you say, other than Middlesbrough and West Brom, who are the top two for me again. And again, I don't think they will run away with it by any means, because you've still got, obviously, Leeds, Derby, you know, Sheffield United, even such as Norwich on a good run of form, who could potentially all get automatic promotion. And then like you've touched upon already, the bottom of the league, again, it is so tight. You know, Ipswich, you think that they're doing so poorly, but one win would take them straight to 20th place. And for me, it's obviously there isn't the quality of players that the Premier League and La Liga and a lot of, you know, Bundesliga, and you can go on to many, many countries around the world. But in terms of a competition, it is definitely up there as one of the most competitive entertainment competitions in the world. And I'm not saying it's potentially first, because, you know, you can go as far as World Cups and Euros and beyond that, and, like I say, the Premier League. But in terms of a competitive nature, week in, week out, where each team is as good as the other, it doesn't get much better than the Championship, if that makes sense. And it's even become more tighter and closer in terms of teams being as good as each other because of financial fair play restrictions. Obviously, that's coming now. Teams can only make a loss of 30 plus million over the course of 3 years. So, you know, unless you're doing a Wolves and you go all log and spend your money and you find yourself top of the league because you know a very good agent, then, like I say, a lot of the teams, they will finish somewhere between 6th and 22nd, and you can't predict in what order at all. So for that reason, like I say, it is one of the best leagues in the world. And if you were to look at the fixtures upcoming for the next weekend and predict them, most people, I guarantee, would get them completely wrong, because, you know, it is that tight. And a good run of form, as we know in this league, you have a good month and you find yourself in the top six. So yeah, it is definitely one of the great leagues in the world for me. And I'm sure, like you've mentioned there, then you'd agree with that. But going back to what we discussed earlier, what's your final say and your team of the week, Jake, and for what reason?
Yeah, I've got a few names that I think that are worth considering for this. I would say in goal, I'd have the Reading goalkeeper, purely because the amount of shots he faced and saved at the weekend, he has to be considered for that. And he did. He was very good and helped them get the points. I think I mentioned Lenihan from Blackburn earlier. I thought he had a really good game. Tim Closer, I would have, in obviously for scoring two goals, that was massive. I thought Bessage was good for Middlesbrough. I think he deserves consideration for that. And up front, I'd have Yaku Mete from Reading. They're just five players that I'd have for this. But are there any players that you're thinking?
It's similar, to be honest. Like, I've got Closer in there, Gardner at Birmingham. I thought Adoma had a really good game for Villa. Like you mentioned there, two for me, the Middlesbrough players, Bessic, obviously, with a cracking goal, and then Ryan Shotton as well. You can't look past Mete up front for Reading, and then Jukowicz at Birmingham. I thought they all did really well. Obviously, I can't go without saying Adam Reach. He had a decent game, but obviously not one of his wonder goals this week, but it weren't half bad, I tell you. So yeah, him as well. But then all round performance in terms of a team in particular, I'm going to pick out two teams, Wigan and Birmingham for me. Obviously, I touched on Wigan beating Stoke, but I pick out Birmingham because obviously that was Gary Rowett's old club, and he's you know, he's gone there, Birmingham, and they've snatched all 3 points off him, and it's kind of up yours to Stoke City in that regard. And then, obviously, Wigan obviously did really well, and it was obviously a fantastic goal by Windass that secured victory in the 74th minute there. So those two teams stood out. But yeah, in terms of players, I think we've pretty much hit the nail on the head with a lot of those.
Yeah, and I just... For me, another team is Blackburn. I talked about them at the start of the show, and I thought they had a very impressive victory, so they'd probably be the team for me. But and as we record, there's going to be more games kicking off in about half an hour, so we're already going to be out of date by then. But there we go.
We can never keep up with this league.
That happens in the
Championship,
doesn't it?
Exactly. You can't keep up with this league, but obviously we'll be recording every week anyway. But yeah, big credit to Paul Cook. He's doing a fantastic job there, and as you say, Tony Mowbray as well. But unfortunately, Jake, with that we're out of time. If you want to just plug any social media or any projects you're involved in, now would be a good time.
Yeah, so I was on the Premier League show yesterday, and I think that's now available on this channel, where I talk all about the fun happenings at Newcastle, which is not very fun at the moment. That was a bit of a lie. But listen to that one. You can get my writings on EPL Index and thebootroom.com. And you get me on Twitter at Jake Jackman with two N's.
Yeah, you can also find me at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter. You can follow the show at Championship Pod, where we pin the show every week for you to download and listen. Make sure you subscribe to that and just give us a quick like there also. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.